Okay. So today is the 25th of August 2016. Thursday class, meditation, calm, Dhamma sharing. Yeah, Susan. Yeah. You are still early, don't worry. You will start in about 3-4 minutes time, 8-10. In the meantime, if you got anything you want to ask, you can. Okay, it's almost 8:10. We can get Suyan to nominate 2 persons to come and light the candle and the incense. So tonight, who shall you nominate?
Susan.
Susan. Yeah. Susan and another one? England. Yeah, 2 of them always together. Yeah. They say the twin. Yeah. That's why I record. Yeah, get the lighter. Then the rest can stand. We prepare for puja.
Sadhu.
Can be seated. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato savakasango sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we shall continue with our chanting of the salutation to the Buddha. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmērayā majjhāpamādathāna vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. We will now chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarappa dittena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang pang puja bacana mutamang วรรณกันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันทธินปูจายามิมุนินดัสสิริปาดสารโรเหปูเจมิปตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปูพังมิลายัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายัตติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทโบจานังปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Let us now develop the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering.Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu.Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Jam. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami.Okay, you can be seated. Sadhu, just forward there. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you are off the light. Then you can start your meditation. Okay? For those who already know how to meditate, straight away you can start. Today we have 35 minutes to meditate. Very good. Okay. For those who still need instruction, I will give you some brief instruction. Actually, most of you have been here before, so if you have read up, you should know what to do. So the main purpose here is to train our mind if you still have problem with your spiritual faculties. For those who already develop a stable spiritual faculty, your mind is already stable in the meditative state, you can straight away commence your meditation, relax, silent, and just maintain awareness within. For those who still need to train their mind because spiritual faculty are not strong, the mental hindrance are still there, then you can develop some skillful means to help you train. If you want to make yourself more calm and more peaceful so that the mental hindrance will not disturb you, then you can start by doing mind sweeping method, where it will help you to decondition your heedless thinking. Then train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then you combine with loving kindness or metta, you radiate metta to yourself, your own entire form and mind, the being. Then again you radiate to all other beings, starting with your loved one and all those things. When you do this, you will develop inner well-being within you, and the wholesome mind state of love and compassion will arise. And these are very wholesome, very meritorious, and these are all right thought, wholesome thought. Mind sweeping method will allow you to develop inner peace, inner calmness. Then the metta will bring about inner well-being. So the first two great benefits of meditation are inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then you can also, after that, stabilize this mindfulness, this inner peace that you have developed. You stabilize it by anchoring it to an object of meditation which you are familiar with. It can be anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, or it can be any skillful mean method or technique that you are more familiar with. For those who do rising falling, you can anchor your awareness there. All these objects of meditation serve only one purpose, to anchor the mind so that it is not lost in thought, not heedless. When you are mindful of the object of meditation, you develop present moment awareness. You don't think. So when you continuously maintain the mindfulness, your mind state will develop a stable inner peace, inner well-being, leading to stability of inner mindfulness. So initially, the training is to train the mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless mind that has the hindrance, to be peaceful, to be aware. Then as you develop the ability to train, when mindfulness arises, you will experience various mind states, starting with piti, a type of very beautiful meditative calmness, or they call it the spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, or spiritual peacefulness. Sometimes it's like a rapture within you, spiritual rapture. Or some call it spiritual joy. As you relax more and more, allow the mindfulness to stabilize, you will experience a more refined state which they call sukha. Sukha is inner bliss, mental bliss, blissfulness of mind. If you continue to relax into it, the breathing and all those awareness that you have developed, they will start to slow down, slow down. Then as you continue to relax into it, allow it to be, it will finally come to a point where it like stop. We call it the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, where there is no movement inside. It is just quiet on its own. That is paucity. Paucity is the silent mind, meditative mind. This is the mind that you need to train and develop. When you are in paucity, your mind is already in sati. Technically, you don't need any object of meditation to keep it centered or peaceful or aware. Your mind can be anywhere, yet it is mindful. Because the mind that is in sati is already silent, no thought. And wherever you locate, its mind is very sensitive. It can understand many, many things. It can even feel your own bodily vibration or heartbeat or any slightest movement within your kaya. It can be even mindful of your mental movement. This mind that has been trained is very, very different. The whole of meditation is to develop this inner peacefulness, which is the tranquility state of mind, paucity, the silent mind, or the meditative mind, and use it to meditate, to understand your own form and mind, to see clearly how your mundane mind, upon contact, arise, then how you input your content of consciousness, then how your mental intention, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, born of your wrong view of self, delusion, condition you into selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, worry, anxiety, or the evil mental state, born of the three evil roots, conditioned by your self-delusion, you see them clearly. Then you will understand through the meditation, the teaching that the Buddha has shared with us. You will witness clearly how the arising of the five mental hindrances within your own form and mind, the five spiritual faculties, the seven factors of enlightenment, the three evil roots, and all the wholesome mental states. Then you can also witness clearly how you function as a human being, how your mind arises and passes away following the law of dependent origination telling. Yeah. All this, you will come to realize them within your own form of mind. When you train your mind to have this stillness or tranquility, the silence within, it will make you very, very mindful. And when you can be ever mindful throughout the day, even in the midst of life, that is the meditative mind, then you use this to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You develop what the Buddha called heedfulness, apamada. The moment you are able to be heedful in the midst of life, in your meditation, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this is a very important understanding. You cannot train your mind to be ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Means you are still heedless. Then you cannot develop the meditation because the heedless are as if dead. So all of meditation centered on training the mind to be aware, then stabilize it and use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That is the real meditation. Yeah. That's why the essence of meditation is daily mindfulness. Mm. In the form of meditation, it's more to train the mind than for those who already have the spiritual faculty developed. You can stabilize this understanding because in the form of meditation, you can go very deep into your mind state, especially the spiritual faculty. Then you can go into the deep stillness, the silence, the awareness within, to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and all the movement within, and how you function as a human being. That understanding can liberate your mind. Okay, I'll let you develop your meditation, your own training. Then I will ring the bell in about 15 or 20 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue for yourself and now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we will continue your chanting, invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the English translation, then we will chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Then together we will let him be lead us. We will chant together the Pali.
Samanta Chakravalesu
Atra Gacchantu Devata Satamang Muni Rajasa Sunanto Sanakalo ayam badanta dhamma sanakalo ayam badanta dhamma sanakalo ayam badanta na Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachatang veditabo inohiti supatipanno bhagavato sawakasango Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidang chattari purisa yokani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo パフニヨダケネヨアンジャリカラニヨアヌタランプニャケタンロカサティサドゥサドゥサドゥ。 Okay, let us pay respect mindfully, the Lord Buddha, then we will pay respect to Triple Jap. Buddhang Pachyabhi Dhammang Pachyabhi Sanghang Pachyabhi. Okay.You can be seated, and maintain some full attention. Then we will start with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by what they call Q&A, question and answer. You can ask whatever question that is related to meditation or the teaching. And also how to apply this teaching is very important. Also, before I open up, just to make a small announcement, tomorrow there will be a talk in Klang. For those who are free, you want to join, you can come to Tiratana Center, NBC Building, Miro, Jalan Miro. The topic is on the importance of cultivating sila andDhana to develop the meditation. So all these are very important understanding. Why is sila so important? Then why do you need Dhana Parami to help you in your progress along the path of Dhamma? And how all these are required under the teaching for you to develop them? So all this, most of the thing we already covered, but the talk will give us the condition to go deep into it, because we narrow it down to just these two. Then I will also explain to you why they are so important under the teaching. Where did the Buddha mention them?Then after understanding why they are so important, we will also go into it. How do you cultivate sila? How do you cultivate dana? Then how you make use of all this parami or cultivation to help you develop the wisdom, the awakening. Okay, now we open up for...meditation reporting and Q&A. You got anybody who wants to share their meditation or report their meditation, then ask question, you just put up your hand. We will pass you the mic. Or any written question or reporting.
Tomorrow night I'll be here at 7 o'clock.
Yes. So those who want to join, left. You text Suyan. Text Suyan. PG coming. Okay, one more to go. Okay, you can text Suyan. Nobody. Wow, then what you want me to share? You pass to Suyan. She got a question. You all should report your meditation. Otherwise, you won't learn. Suyan.
Good evening, brother. Just a personal experience.
Yeah.
Sometimes, for example, you are driving and you come to a road and there's a junction and you decide to go straight.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
decided, right? You
yeah,
decide
yeah,
to go
yeah.
straight. But then suddenly at the last minute, you just make a right turn.
Yeah.
Then you just wonder, what happened? Is it a subconscious playing or is it that...
Okay, so that is your question. Okay, good. This is a small thing in life, such as this. Sometimes it happens. So the question is, why? How did it happen? Then is it because, like Xuan say, you lack mindfulness? It depends, actually. We are different people, different. The situations are different. So there are many possibilities. But one of the usual possibility, if you're already a cultivator, you will tend to see your mind clearly. And how it happened also, you will get to know it. Because we always make mental intention, decision. But as we make mental decision, we are not sure. We are not clear. Then our mind is sometimes still thinking. And because you are not sure and you don't have specific clarity or hatefulness, then the habitual tendency take over, understand? You know what is habitual tendency? If every day you drive that route home, you like automatic, you reach there, you will turn right on. Then after that, sometimes your spouse or my wife will say, hey, why you turn here? Because we have this, like, we already knew that we are going home. But then that day, we're supposed to go dinner to another place. So, this is one of the possibility. Then sometimes it's because when you are driving, you are actually thinking. Even though that decision was already made, because when you are at the traffic light, you already make the decision. But as you make the decision, you are thinking. Then this habitual tendency can take over. Then you turn right. Then suddenly when you turn right, you realize, how come I turn right? But more important is, when you start to understand all this, you will learn. Then you know how most people, most living beings, they are heedless. Because they think a lot. They are seldom with the moment. Then sometimes when you are with the moment also, because there are a lot of things going on, then sometimes you want to multitask. You want to like recall certain things, reflect on certain things. Not to say you cannot do, but you see when you do this, you are not focused, you are not attentive. But it doesn't mean you cannot do that. To be mindful means to be aware inwardly. Aware of the thinking, aware of this movement. Then when you do that, you know you're at the risk of being inattentive. If you're truly driving and you're attentive and not thinking, you're very clear, you're very focused. You will know where you want to go. But of course, inside your brain, you are still like trying to prepare yourself before you reach that place, because you are familiar with the road, then you know where to go, because your destination is clear to you. Then sometimes I sit in PG's car. She always tell me direction, she blur. So when she drive also, she every time I'm ready where to turn, go straight. Because that the mind got no mapping inside there, understand? Because sometimes that place is new, she is not familiar. And sometimes, actually, that route she traveled before, but because she don't make it a point to remember, then she is not familiar. So again, she always asks. Then sometimes, because when it reached that point only, she asks, oh, then I will give instruction. Sometimes it's too late. Then sometimes you have to explain to her, like, go Pelita. I say, you go straight. But go straight, the meaning is to different people different. Straight, that road is very long. Then you have to tell, go until traffic light, turn right, U-turn, then you will reach Belita. But because we're familiar, we have this clarity inside our mind, we know how to move, then we can give instruction. So in this particular case, like Suyan mentioned, it's a matter of how well you train yourself and your decision to drive. If you want to drive attentively, forget about other things. Just be heedful, drive. Finish. That's it. But the habitual tendency of thinking while driving can actually make you heedless. An accident can happen. But when you are skillful, you can multitask and yet heedful aware. That's why you won't have problem. But when you are not able to do that, my advice is focus on the driving. You want to think later, more safe. And so some people very kanchong, phone call, don't know what to do, they want to answer, that thinking here. Then the traffic, sometimes the worst is when you take out the phone and answer. When you answer means what? You are trying to listen. When you are listening, you are not attentive anymore. Understand? That's why the possibility of road accident can happen. Like sometimes my wife say, when you drive, just drive. Unless it's important. Important also, reach your destination only answer. Or unless your phone is on the side there, then you pass it to your spouse to answer or to listen. And then it is better. Then as you drive, you can still listen to the conversation. Then even if you want to talk to that person, you put it on hands-free or you on the speaker. Then you can talk. But if you are not trained, not skillful, avoid that. Otherwise, it can make you heedless. Okay? So there are many possibilities, like I said, different people, different. So that is a very small aspect of heedfulness where you can deal with it. Actually, it's not really whether you are mindful or you're not mindful, because when you do that, your mind becomes like that. And mindfulness is just an awareness within. When you are aware within, then you can be attentive. But you are not thinking, you are not lost in thought. But as you focus on driving, there are things that come through your senses. So it depends on your mental training. If you don't have that mental training, the alertness, you can actually become heedless and accident can happen, do happen. Then if you are a cultivator, you can see all this. Then you can reflect on it. How living beings become heedless. And most living beings are heedless most of the time. But throughout the day, they think a lot. Even when they are sitting alone in the office, they are like daydreaming. Where they are seldom within the moment. You ask them to rest, very difficult to silence the mind. Because they cannot, they just cannot. The mental hindrance are there. They are just heedless. Unless they are very tired. When they are very tired, very easy. They just doze off. Or they just knock off. Otherwise, you want them to be peaceful. They tell you impossible. Then when they got problem, they worry a lot. So this is some aspect of daily life, mental activity that you can learn and develop the understanding if you are mindful. That's why mindfulness allows you to see yourself in the midst of life, how you behave, how you end up become what you are, most of the time heedless. Without the Dhamma, of course, most people are very heedless. If you have the Dhamma, you start to cultivate and develop this understanding, then you can see them. Then when you understand, you change. Then you become attentive. Then when you are sleepy, too tired, don't drive. Go for a short nap or rest your car somewhere. Rest in service area or somewhere safe, you can park your car, then rest. If you are too tired, don't drive. Especially long distance, it can be very, very dangerous. Accident do happen. Even bus driver also. Sometimes they don't have enough rest because long distance, very tiring. Then as age catch up, also, you are no longer when the same when you are young. So last time when I young also, I can drive long distance. I every time drive back, I lost start, come back. But the last, I think 7 or 8 years, I didn't drive already because, not to say I cannot drive, I can drive, but my wife say the jam was not easy to deal with. Sometimes the North South Highway, especially nowadays, very, very, the jam can be very bad. So, no point, subjecting yourself to all the risks. So, we take flight back easier. Even Suyan also take flight back Penang very often. So, these are the things that you will learn to adjust. So, sometimes, not necessary to take the risk. Please, don't take the risk. Need to rest. Rest. Must have enough sleep, enough rest. And then continue. Sometimes half an hour rest, good enough. Or 10 minutes also very good. But 10 minutes, don't drive too far. But last time, because I meditate, I rest 10 minutes, I can finish the journey. So it depends. So you have to understand yourself. Okay? So anymore. Yes. Pass to PG here. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Chiu. Since this time nobody wants to ask this question, I think I will.
Very good. Sadhu.
I was actually looking through my Facebook and I saw this friend, which I have not been in contact for a while. This is a very sensitive question. She, during one of our quiet moments, she shared with me that she was a child of sexual abuse.
Yes.
Very, very sad case. It was her grandfather
after
her
okay.
mother passed away. And she had a very traumatic life because the stepmother treated her very badly and her life was like going downhill until she... When she was a teenager, she had to run away. How do we console such a person? You know,
And
this all. When we talk about karma, sometimes it's very difficult to tell these people, or you know, because of this and this. I really
do not know. Is she a Buddhist?
She is, and she's of. Indian descent. I'm not very sure what's her religion, but she prays to the Kuan Yin. Her mother is Chinese. Yeah. Prays to the Kuan Yin. Thank you. I hope you can help to clarify this. This subject. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the question. So you all heard the question, So sometimes in life, not necessary only like this particular case that PG bring up. Child abuse. Sometimes all this do happen to living beings. That's why you who don't understand the secret of life, which is the nature's law that governs life and existence. When this situation arises, many people suffer, miserable, cannot cope. Then the question keep on haunting them. Why is God so unfair? Why me? How come people are like that? Then they live in constant phobia because of that experience of child abuse. So in that particular case, it's like what we heard. When she was very young, the mother passed away. Then under the care of I think the grandfather, I don't know what, then the stepmother and all those things. Then she's subject to a lot of child abuse, sex abuse and all those things. Then she suffers so much until she has to run away. Then PG said, how can we help to console or counsel such a person? It all depends. That's why I asked her, is she a Buddhist? Then she said, no, she's of Indian descendant. Then later she recalled, the mother is a Buddhist. So given such a situation, if you really have the condition, then you want to do something to help out. Not only console, to counsel, and to let them understand, then with that understanding they can move on. Then their life can become more meaningful. Yeah. These are possible, but it needs a lot of understanding and wisdom on your part. If you still don't have that understanding, then not easy. But if you have that understanding, it can be very easy. You have to choose the appropriate timing, the condition. When there is condition to talk about this, to let them understand, when they are very willing to listen, and then you can do something. Then like PJ said, it's only on this very quiet moment that she confined all this to PJ. Maybe she felt she can trust PJ. So with people who go through this type of suffering, like I said, not necessary in this particular case, child abuse or what, it can be any phobia that come when you are young or when you encounter life and all those things, because these are all the scars of memory, very severe, what they call suffering that arise, and they experience it because that time they were too young, they got no means of fighting the thing or defending themselves. So they are being subject to all this. So first thing first is, if they are Chinese origin or with Buddhist background, then easier to let them understand. The first thing that you must remind all these people is, you are not alone in this world. There are many people who gone through life much worse than you. Of course, most of them are not so bad, but you are not alone, that's for sure, because these are realities of life and existence. Then you have to explain to them, even in science, we also know that there are scientific law of cause and effect, Newton's law. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So in the spiritual field, it is the same. The Buddhists call it the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. If there are Christians who don't believe in rebirth of past life, then you have to explain to them in a very tactful way. You say your religion may believe otherwise, but to us as Buddhists, we have this understanding. And you can actually explain this to them very easily. As a human being, our lifespan is so short compared to the universal time. It cannot be just one birth and one life. Everything begins and ends. There's no such thing. Then there are many incidents of recalling past life and all those things. Then they even have scientific proof of past life. Then if you meditate, you will understand also what consciousness is, how rebirth can occur and take place. What is more important is just tell her to have an open mind so that you can explain things clearly. When they have this understanding of law of karma, then they will know what to do. Then like what we went through last Thursday, Do you know that all this come about because of cause and effect? There are causes and conditions from the past, like the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions from the past that condition the present. That's like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. If that be the case, we have to take care of karma, otherwise we will suffer. So for her case, you can explain very lightly, you say. Yeah. It is because in the past, you also have become living being or human being who abuse other people, like what your grandpa do to you or your stepmother do to you or your whatever friends or colleague did to you. But because you abuse them, you torment them, you cause them so much suffering. So this life, there is condition for you to become the victim, to experience what you did to people. Because the suffering that you caused to people, you never understood at that time. So now there is condition, you become the victim, you experience what people do to you. Then you suffer, you become miserable, you become very angry, sometimes full of hatred towards them, sometimes angry with yourself, all the same. But all this is not going to help you, you tell them. You have gone through suffering for so long. Why? Because you don't have this understanding. Now I can explain this to you, that if you find that it's useful and it can help you turn around, use it. Because as long as you continue to be deluded by what happened, you will continue to live in phobia. That scars of memory will continue to haunt you, create more and more suffering and misery to you, and your life will be affected. Then the solution is very important, is it? If you understand that there is this law of karma that causes all this, first thing we have to do is, like what we went through last Thursday, you tell him, you have to acknowledge that what they have done to you is wrong. Similarly, what you have done to those people in the past is wrong. So you have to ask for forgiveness. So asking for forgiveness is very important, not from those person who did to her, but all beings from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly that he has caused any karmic negativity, suffering, misery or abuse. He should sincerely ask for forgiveness, for this is the nature's law. Then determine not to repeat all this. Then determine to follow this nature's law, not to violate it. Means to follow the advice of the Buddha to take care of karma. That's why you keep your precept, do good, avoid evil. Then from there, train and develop your mind to develop the understanding, to understand all this. So asking for forgiveness determine not to repeat this. Then the third one is to cultivate, follow this law of karma. Means keep your precept, avoid all evil, do good, develop wholesomeness of mind to become virtuous, beautiful. Then your life will transform, your life will change. Then these are the merits that you will develop, even keeping your precept, not harming people. When you keep your precept, you not only don't harm others, you don't harm yourself too, you take care of karma. Then through this, it becomes a meritorious action. Then from there, when you cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, it brings about good condition for good karma to come back to you. Then as you develop more and more of these good mind states, you become different. You are incapable of negativity. Then as you learn to meditate, train your mind to be mindful, heedful, to understand all this, then of course to go deeper into the teaching, then you can develop more wholesomeness. You can read up, listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, then rejoice, share merit, transfer merit, help out. Then even training your mind to have the spiritual faculty, all this is going to help you. Then you say you can invoke the power of these merits, your generosity, your kindness, your goodness, for causes and conditions for you to recover to good mind state and have good life condition to experience the beautiful life, the good life. Then all this that happened in the past, because it's already gone, no more reality, but you are experiencing the karmic effect. If you have this understanding and wisdom, if you ask for forgiveness and allow this bygone be bygone, then your mind start anew. You can move forward. Move forward through understanding. Understanding means what? When you understand that this arises because of this law of karma. So when I accept this reality, I no longer hate people. I no longer have phobia, fear, worry, anxiety. I no longer hold on to all this that torment me and make me miserable, fearful. Then with that clarity, with that free mind, I can move on. Then I ask myself, what are my options? Like I said, ask for forgiveness. Then vow not to repeat all this. Then change your life. Keep your precept. Cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, understand the teaching, then develop good mind states, then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for your life to become more and more conducive for the good life, so that all these karmic repercussions can dissolve. Then the moment the karmic obstruction is gone, all this wholesomeness that you have developed and cultivated, you invoke power of merits for causing condition for you recover the good mind state so that you can move on with your life and experience all the joy and happiness that can come about through your transformation in the way you live your life. Means you improve yourself, you improve your life through understanding this nature's law. And this is the fastest and the most effective. You don't have to go and see medium and all those things, or fortune teller, or change your feng shui and all those things. No. When you understand that this is nature's law, law of karma, you can apply the Dhamma to actually help people, counsel. Then you use the word console them. Console them, it means make them better, like so that they don't grieve so much. Yeah. So you have the Dhamma, that consoling can be very effective. Then you can also allow them to understand life better so that they can actually do something to clear all this karmic negativity. Whatever suffering that they experience is from the past. Then as long as you don't understand, this suffering will continue to haunt you, to torment you, and you cannot free yourself from it because your mind is entangled. And it will be accumulated into your subconscious, then later on into your unconscious. That's why you can have phobia or nightmare when you sleep. And this can haunt them for many, many years. So explaining all this to them and tell them life is like that. These are common life reality that all living beings have to go through and confront. But if you don't plant the seed of evil from the past or even from now onward, in future when you come, you won't experience this type of child abuse and all those things. People who experience them are because they have planted this seed, the evil seeds. So you say if you want to avoid all this and have the good life, you have to plant the seed of wholesomeness, the seed of goodness, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. You have to have virtue. then you reap what you sow. In future, you come, your condition will be beautiful. You will experience all those things that you did to people. Like you become a responsible parent. In future, you will have parents who are responsible towards you, take care of you, give you the love, the education, willing to sacrifice for you, willing to help you, guide you, counsel you, advise you appropriately. They will not limit you or force you to do things that you don't like. So likewise, the way you deal with people, you are kind to them, good to them, honest, sincere. In future, you will meet people who are good to you, kind to you, honest and sincere to you. But if you start to deceive people, cheat people, through your cunningness, you do a lot of funny things, selfish things, deluded things, and you cause so much misery and suffering to fellow living beings. These are the evil coming seed that you plant. So you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit in future. So your life, you have to decide, you tell them, because I understand this teaching, this law. That's why I determine to change for the better. And because of that, I can see that my life has become different. And it has become so beautiful, so meaningful. And through all this, you can help them to understand. Then it will give them a lot of faith, a lot of confidence. Then if they really need help, you say, you come, I take you to maybe Dhamma class or temple to start off with. Yeah? So that they can be with people, yeah? Whom they find are in the same circle of friendship, yeah? And believe in the same thing. That's how our Kayanamita ship come about, Dhamma friends. So when you are able to make that conscious decision, even with your merits, like the Buddha teaches, by the power of these merits, may arise the causes and conditions for us to avoid the foolish, the heedless, meet away the wise and the enlightened being, so that this enlightenment, Nibbana, can be realized as soon as possible. So when you invoke this type of merits for this type of causes and conditions, your life will be channeled towards that direction. That's why you will meet up with the wise and the heedful. You will not get yourself entangled with the heedless and the deluded. So, association with good people who has the Dhamma is very important. Associating with the wise is the most important. You have to avoid the foolish, yeah, or the heedless. Otherwise, you will meet up with very negative condition, and your karmic negativity will increase tremendously. You meet up with the foolish and the heedless because they will influence you. So you can use this to help your friend. It can be any life situation or reality. Because it's very common, this world. Through your encounter with people whom you have relationship with, I believe all of you, you all have seen many, many people going through difficult life, experiencing a lot of suffering and misery. Even among Hokkaidamita, before they come, a lot of them actually not easy to cope. But when they understand this teaching, they turn around so beautifully. Then they can become very different. They can become like a blessing to all. Then you will actually have a lot of joy. Then you will count your good karma, your good blessing, to have such condition. Then when you are dead serious, you can determine life after life in the future to have this understanding. You do not want to be heedless anymore. You do not want to go back to the old way anymore. Then that is the beginning of having the new life, the good life, so that law of karma is taken care of and you will not fall like before. So this understanding driving you to cultivate and train your mind to be ever mindful and heedful is very important. This teaching is very, very useful. It can transform living being, your character, your personality, and it can help you to change your life, improve your life tremendously. And this one is all no need money, free. No need to pay anybody, no need to do anything, nothing to do with feng shui, fortune telling, and all those things. No need to see medium also. It's just understanding. Okay? Pass to Xia. Slide the thing.
Good evening, brother.
Yes.
I want to ask a question in relation to the offering of food or the ceremony that the Chinese conduct in this time of the year. They call it portal. In this context again, how is it explained in Buddhist?
Okay, good. View? Very good question. Actually, a lot of people don't understand. Most of us, we are brought up in a Chinese family. So our Chinese family, we have our Chinese tradition. The lunar calendar, July 15, they say Chi Gui Bua. They even call it the Ghost Festival. So they believe, like Chi Reverend last time, Ke Sri Tamananda always make fun of. Is it our Chinese hell very good one? Once a year, they let you out and free you from all the hell prison. Then Chief Reverend asked, do you think they will come back or not? Like all the prisoners, once a year, you got prisoners there and let them out. You think they come back? That's why, through your own common sense, you will know there is no such thing. But then, it is a Chinese tradition, because it's a belief. So it all started in ancient China. You know our Chinese tradition. If you know how to understand them and apply them, it's very good, it's very useful. But if you don't understand and deludedly believe, it can bring you problems too. You see, the good thing about the Chinese culture or tradition is almost throughout the year, the lunar calendar, every month they got some activity on, you realize or not? So all this activity is to allow you to celebrate, understand that? Like Chinese New Year, you really celebrate. Then there is this tradition or this culture to exchange gifts. Then it's like an auspicious day where you really, really take a break from your what they call work. Then you have your they call the gathering, the what they call that reunion dinner. So all this, then after that you have the Qing Bing. Then you have the what they call Tang Che. Then you have your mooncake. Then Zhang Festival, Dumpling Festival. Then you also have your Zhongqiu, Oh, sorry, that one is Mooncake. Yeah. Then the Chinese got a lot of this, what they call like Qi Gui Po, to celebrate the Hungry Ghost Day and all those things. Then sometimes they celebrate the various dainties, birthday, Kuan Yin's birthday, Buddha's birthday, and Che Chop Go, they have their vegetarian day, all those things. It creates a lot of economic activity, you understand, huh? Business become very different because you flourish because you have all this festival. Otherwise, there is not much economic activity. So you see Chi Gui Po, the Hungry Ghost Festival, you know how much economic activity, you know. They sell to you all those things, the joystick and all things. Then the graveyard there, that piece of land is more expensive than what they call KLCC, Central Business District. And they sell to you per square foot by the thousand one. Sometimes the urns are just one small 1.5 feet by 1 feet, I think. 20,000-30,000, just that small compartment to put the urn. So that real estate is really expensive. Go by square inch, no more square feet, and strata titles and whatnot. Yeah. They just built one, I saw before Nirvana there. I think about 40 feet by 30 feet. I calculate all the compartments, if they can sell, 30 million. How much you need to build that house? That's why they can maintain for you for life, put music. But doesn't mean it doesn't serve a purpose. It serves a purpose where people want peace of mind. People still have tradition and beliefs. So the question is very good. By Brother Sia, how do we understand this from the point viewpoint of the Dhamma? So from the point of Dhamma is very simple, because when I read all this earlier on, I didn't know that all this Chinese tradition got nothing to do with Buddhism, the teaching of the Buddha, until I read that book, What Buddhists Believe, written by Chief Reverend K. Sridharmananda, the first edition, red color, 1971, I remember. I came across that book. My classmate sister gave it to me. The moment I read it, I jumped for joy. The first chapter, Chief Reverend explained, all this that the Chinese do, which was what my mother did, has got nothing to do with the teaching, the Dhamma. Wow, I was full of joy. I couldn't accept Buddhism was because I look at what my mother do. I said, if this is Buddhism, forget about it. That's why when I came out to search for truth, I didn't look at Buddhism. I go to all the other religion. I start with science, of course. Then finally, when I received this book, then only I knew what. I said, no need to search already. This is it. Because I read the Four Noble Truths. The moment I read the Four Noble Truths, deep inside to me, there is nobody in this universe or this world can have this type of understanding. 2,000 over years ago, not to say now. Whoever who can understand all of life and summarize into just Four Noble Truths so simple and so beautifully, he must be the real one. Deep inside my nature, my heart, the understanding is there. That straight away, I said, no need to search. Then I went all out to understand this teaching. And I understand very fast, very funny. So this is the teaching which is not based on belief or superstition, not like the Chinese tradition. Like when you die, somebody die, you must burn the paper house, you must burn all the hell money and all those things. And a lot of people somehow believe that if you burn, they receive. And if they don't do, there is fear. So like Chigwe Poh also say, once a year, everybody make offering. No? If you don't make offering, what happens? You will scared they come and haunt you, disturb you. Then Cheng Ming is the same. Cheng Ming. I follow my parents to visit the grave of my grandparents when I was young. I don't understand. Then I observe what they do, the tradition. Then later on, when it comes to my parents, I already knew the Dhamma. That's why I explained to my brothers and sisters. I say, my father passed away first. I say, I will organize this. I will plan all this. Then I will explain to you all. Then after that, you all go ahead. I don't go and purposely, like for Cheng Beng and all things. I only went back there first 2 or 3 years after my father passed away to make sure they know what to do. Then I explained to them, you don't think they really can eat all this food? No. If you think they can eat, means they are born as hungry ghosts around there. Understand? But depend on their karma, I say, they may not be around. But this is, in a way, good, because the Chinese tradition, they want you to have filial piety to actually recall to mind your parents who have given you life, who have raised you, sacrificed for you, provide you with the food, the education, the shelter, and the education and other things, and supported you in so many ways to allow you to have the good life. And they, as responsible parents, raise you. All the need when you are young, when you are sick, they care for you. They took you to see doctor. Then your education, they see to it. Then your whatever need in life, they see to it. They make sure the food and the shelter and the whatever support that they can provide for you, they give. So when you recall to mind, you have gratitude towards them. You express that filial piety towards them. Then you do things that can bring about wholesomeness for their future. That's why the Buddhists do differently. The Chinese tradition do differently. So all this practice, if it can bring about goodness, no problem, retain it. But do not be deluded by it, because a lot of these are rite and ritual. So when it comes to the hungry ghost month, July month, because a lot of people make offering because they want to feel confident. They don't want to have this fear inside their head. So they would rather say, okay, we better do. Otherwise, they have problems. So when they do, it doesn't mean this ghost will come, understand? And they eat. Actually, they cannot eat. They are in spirit form, like what the Buddha explained in the Tirukkuda Sutta. Spirit form means they don't have physical body like us to eat. But they can see, they can smell, understand? Then they rejoice. Then, because they are still deluded in that rhyme, so what happened is, like in the Tirukkuda Sutta, the Buddha did advise, he said, you must think of your departed ones. You must actually have gratitude towards them. Then you must also, in whatever way you can, repay your gratitude. Then radiate love and metta. And do whatever you can to like make them happy. It's just like recall to mind all the good things that they have done for you. If you do all this, they will not disturb you. Otherwise, they will come and disturb you. That's why in the Tirukkuda Sutta is mentioned inside the sutta. They will come and disturb you and haunt you. That's why sometimes you can feel their presence, the eerie feeling and all those things. And sometimes, because they are still deluded, they see other family do, then within their rhyme, their world, they also talk, hey, your relative didn't do for you, your children didn't do for you. Wow, you'll be tahan. So what you do? You go back and catch all them. But these are within the hell rhyme, the existential world. It doesn't mean that you must do, understand? You only do because you got no other way, no other understanding. So it's just like the Theravada Sutta, the Buddha did mention, like funeral time, you go and cry, then create the impression that you have filial piety and all those things. He said, no point. You go and offer all those things, no point. He said, no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the day. Then it won't appease them, understand? Then when they can see that all this is just like temporary because they are also deluded. So when you make offering or what, of course, they have this type of joy. They can see, then they can this type of what they call they smell. Then they feel good because at least my children, my loved one, my relative, they can still recall what I like to eat. You see? So they bring that type of offering, especially Ching Beng. Is it your grandparent or parent like what? My father and mother used to tell us, Kong Kong like what? Then later on, my brothers there will say, last time daddy liked the Tai Pao, the Siu Mai. So they pass. But that one is no longer real. But if you want to do, no harm. Understand? Well, if they really born in that right, they can see, they also rejoice. But if you have the Dhamma, like the Buddha say, the more appropriate thing is to make offering in their name. Offer to the Sangha. Offer to those that are more meaningful, more wholesome. You can make offering in their name to charity organization, to school, to a certain type of organization that needs support to relieve humanity's suffering. Then even to build temple, build school, or even to support the Sangha or the Sasana. All these are very wholesome. And when they share merit and transfer merit back to them, the immediate result they will see if they are born into that rhyme. That's why when you itang minya tinang huatu, there is immediate effect, especially you are cultivator. That's why I used to joke, you are kayanamita, you don't worry, you born that petarang also, you sure, no problem, I'm very fast, come on. But don't fall into those states, because if you fall into those states, means you already didn't really cultivate at all. Even as kayanamita, you know the Dhamma, yet you purposely neglect your life and choose to have what they call greed and selfishness. Those who are born into the hungry ghost rhyme, they are full of greed, selfishness, craving, attachment. Then you can be born into that rhyme. Animal rhyme is heedless and deluded one. A lot of delusion on that one will go animal rhyme. Then you got a lot of anger, a lot of violence on, you become demon. Demon, we all Hokkien call one. Yao guai. The Buddha called it yakka yakini. The yakkas and the yakini. Then also, the demon they call what they are. Kandaba, and a lot other names. No? There's a lot of them out there. So, when it comes to all this offering, it's just appease those who are born in that rhyme. But if you know the Dhamma, you can do better things. Because that rhyme, they are in a very miserable state. Because like the Theravada Sutta, the Buddha explained, you cannot work there. No. There is no job, no salary, nothing. There is neither plowing nor planting. You cannot become a farmer. Or you cannot grow. Then trade or merchandising. No, cannot do business. So there, if you are born into that rhyme, you got no way of improving yourself except waiting for the merits transferred by your departed relative. That's why very, very miserable one down there. They say, Ho Cham. Oh, and you can suffer there and be trapped there for very long. You don't have related relative who are practicing or cultivators who can transfer and share merits with you. Mm. That's why they're helping they sometimes, because of their own delusion and heedlessness, they can be trapped there for very long. Mm. Okay? Yeah. So this is what you can understand. Yes. Pass the mic.
Is the relative for the departed relative, they are not Buddhists, and we transfer these merits to them, were they able to receive?
Can, why can't? They can. So you don't have to be a Buddhist to receive merits or wholesomeness. Because these are nature's law. So don't have to. But sometimes you want to send them pure wish or what already, love and metta. You have to be careful. If they are of another religion, you have to rephrase it. Understand? Your Christian friend passed away, you cannot say, may the blessing of the triple gem be with you. He don't like, understand? May the Lord be with you. Then he very happy. Because you have to be sensitive. Like I told you, the KK trip last time I went, luckily I can feel, you know. Then I recall that Dharma friend, the brother, is a Christian. You know. They are very strong Christian, long-time Christian. And that hotel that he recommended us was actually a Christian church. Then because the church got not much support, they decided to close it down and sell it. And a group of people bought it. Then they convert it into a like motel or like that, small motel for people to stay. Because it's cheap. And he also say, last time it was a church, so a lot of Christians actually went there and stayed. So we all, you know, super Buddhists, never bother about this. So they book. So we went and we stayed. Wow, the first night, luckily I sensed it. The two cats, very fierce. Very fierce. One is got affinity to listen to Dhamma or not. The other one, I tell you, very, very violent. Don't like this type of whatnot. While we were sitting on, well, after dinner, you know, we were sitting the rest place, I think. We call it, they got this long, what they call this type of bench, sofa set. Yeah. So we were sitting around there, I think about 10 of us. So we were discussing the Dhamma and talking about the Dhamma. Then I realized one cat very attentively at the side there, very quiet, you know, listen. Then after about half an hour, suddenly one cat from outside. Yeah, very sensitive, I can feel. That cat just come in. Then, very violent, scream at this cat, want to attack this cat. Very violent. Until everybody panic. Then I knew. Then I read it, metta. Then after that, the thing settled down. I think the cat went out and fight for a while. Then after that, sorted out. Then after that, I said, maybe later. Go back and rest. The moment I went in the room, after I wash up, I went to sleep. I lie down on the bed. I can feel a lot of them there. A lot of them. Then I knew already. Have to talk to them. So I have to explain to them. I said, I understand you all are around. You are not happy with what we are doing here. Because we also sometimes chant and all those things. Namo Tassa. Then they all very ill into this one. They all amen. Then they got different type of prayer and all those things. So the non-human, I think, mostly are of that beliefs and tradition or religion. So I have to explain to them that we are from our station we came over from, East Malaysia. West Malaysia, sorry. So we are here to stay the night. So in our society, when we book the hotel or motel and we pay the money, we are given the right to stay, to occupy the room. But I understand you all are here before us. You are most welcome to stay, to remain. And rest assured, we mean no harm. We are peaceful people, except our religion is different from yours. So forgive us if we have caused you any misunderstanding or unhappiness over what we have said. Then we wish you well-being and happiness too. We would like to radiate love and metta to you. If you don't want to use the word metta, also can. We would like to radiate love to you. And through this love, we hope we can all be at peace. And together, in harmony, you help protect this place. And we will be very grateful and appreciate it. So I say, thank you so much. Then after that, I lie down again. Oh, then I can feel very quiet already. Not much of this already. Then I said, thank you so much. I said, please, all the others also, don't disturb them. Otherwise, then later on, that morning, I asked around, do you have a good sleep? Everybody told me, first 2 hours cannot. Stephanie also cannot. Then they go more like, nightmare, like that shower hot thing, you know. Then there were a few also cannot. But they say after the 2nd hour, no nothing. They sleep. They just sleep. That's why you must be careful. You cannot simply use Buddhist terminology. You know, oh, may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you. Itang minyatina. They don't know what are you trying to tell them. Then sometimes they feel very offended. Why, you know? Because it's like you are trying to, like, I don't know what word to use. You are trying to be funny with them. It's just like in our society. You are not careful, especially in Malaysia. You cannot simply do things, what I tell you. If they are fasting month, you suddenly put on the WhatsApp in the video, your bak kut teh, you get into big trouble, I tell you. You don't play a fool. This is, to them, is offensive. So to the spiritual world, it's the same. If they are not used to your tradition, your religion, or your way of doing things, you somehow in their church, you know, you never respect them, somehow you do all these things. You know, you see how unhappy they can be. And they are in that state of mind, you know, they don't have wisdom like you. You know. Even if they are normal living beings, you think they can accept you or not? Maybe you cannot see the thing so clearly until I reverse it. Let's say that place was a Buddhist temple. Then they convert into a motel. Then this Christian come. They rent the place. Then they have their Christian music and all those things. Then may the Lord, they recite all those things. How you feel? Because it's so alien to you, isn't it? But of course, if they are good Christian, you will know also, you can feel them. But if they have this type of what they call ideology, it's very difficult, very difficult. So all this, you don't have to worry. The question, of course, is other faith. Can they receive? Yes, they can receive, because you transform merit, sanasana. You share merit. You are not there to create any problem, sanasana. Like, I share my wealth with the village people. These village people can be of any religion. So because you are from the same village, related, departed relative. Some of your departed relative can be other religion or other faith, but some you have mixed marriage. Then some even within the same family you have different religion, different belief system. So as far as the nature's law is concerned, departed relative is departed relative irrespective of whatever religion. But if you want to radiate love and metta or wish them well-being, then you have to be careful, understand? You give money, nobody is going to tell you, hey, I Buddhist, no, I cannot accept your money. Even that type of religion is so holy also, they take your money. Because when it comes to money, whatever the religion, as long as there is offering, very good, thank you so much. But when you want to read it specific, because their belief system is different, you cannot be saying, may the blessing of the Tipa Jam be with you after your immediate path. They feel very offended. No, I want to go to the kingdom of God to be with Lord Jesus. You give me this type of blessing. It's just like you wish your Christian friend, may the Tipa Jam be with you. How they feel? They feel very odd. It's very funny. They thought you are trying to be funny. So it's just like they come and tell you, may God bless you. But for us Buddhists, we are okay. God bless or whoever bless also is good, as long as you bless. That's why now they are not so sensitive. Like my classmates, Suyan, they all will know me. We got a lot of Christians there too. So they also, sometimes they send the Christian message. But they are good. Because most of them really have goodness in their heart. They cultivate according to the Bible, the good side that is spoken in the Bible. That K.C. Lim, Singapore, he changed a lot now. Last time in university, he got into trouble. He was kicked out from MU. But later on he graduated and became a mechanical engineer. He was in my class, civil engineer. And I know him, but because of some problem, got to do with truck, get into problem. Then later on, somehow he become very different. Then he became a Christian, very strong in the faith. And from the way he write and say all those things, I can feel they have goodness. They really have that belief and their understanding, then they live according to that. That's why their life become different. They can benefit from it. Like I explained, if you really believe in God, Jesus, as the Son of God, if you really believe in His whole teaching, the embodiment of Jesus' love and compassion and the Ten Commandments and the verses that He spoke to all the whatever, in the Bible, the good part, actually they are very beautiful. They can bring about good transformation in their life. That's why it is exactly the same as the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil to good. Basically just that. Then have faith, believe in the God, believe in Lord Jesus. Then through that belief, they have this very strong faith. They build up their spiritual faculty. Then they do prayer. It's just like if you do all this good, at one evil do good, you invoke power of merits. So you pray to Lord Jesus. So for whatever wish you want. Then it's like miracle to them. Because it actually, through this nature's law, it can bring about causes and conditions for their prayer to come true. That's why everything they thank God for the food, thank God for whatever. But when got problem already, they never say thank God. But when everything go their way, they always have this gratitude towards God. So these are the things, when you understand the nature's law actually the whole of religion can be understood. Because basically religion teaches living being to be good, to have goodness, to have kindness, to avoid all the evil action and evil deed. That's why they have their commandments. We have our precepts. So these are moral causation, moral codes and moral rules that you have to abide by. And when you understand the truth, you will know that all this will bring about wholesomeness. That's why whatever religion you may have, no problem. As long as you understand the purpose of religion. All religion talk about avoiding evil and doing good, having love and compassion. You can have that and don't become fanatical in your ideology. You will become beautiful. Susan, you put up your hand. Oh, you were trying to. Yes. Can. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, don't need to record. Yes, very good. Yes. Very good.
They will return.
Yeah.
Alright. So my second sister, she told me,
I'm a kid.
We did have differences.
Correct.
So I said, okay, that's okay. You come and stay in
my house. Very good.
And because for the 3 days after her death, So she came to my house on the 7th night. That night she got some sleep.
Because
she's so tired already.
You know? And also inside your house the vibration different.
Then the second night
Very good. Then she woke up. Because they are very close. So no need to fear one. But that one that come out is the random of consciousness. The remain from inside come out. That one actually is just that consciousness. Nothing. And also wish her well-being and happiness. And if you can talk to her, you have passed away. This one is your consciousness that come out. That's why you can hear us, you can see us, but we cannot hear you, we cannot see you, but we can feel you, so don't worry. So because of affinity, we have been sisters before. You can talk to them, they can hear you. They hear you very clearly. Because when it's not trapped inside this body, the consciousness is at least 10 times more powerful. Because it is free. The craving force does not bound them anymore. And in that state, they can read your mind. They can know what you think. So it's not a psychic thing. To the non-human and all this, what they call the random consciousness, reading mind is nothing. Because that consciousness at that level, actually no need word. No problem. Very good. Sadhu. Yes. Because a lot of this thing, through your culture, through your belief system, it tend to condition your fear. It's just like when we are young, we were told, you don't sleep in a dark room. No? All these dark rooms, dark places, got ghosts one, very eerie. So when we are young, you know, our house, very little lighting. Then at night, after they off the light, because our family was so big, we had to, as we grew up, we had to sleep outside or no? Fan Po Chong. Initially, it's inside the shop. Then later on, not enough space. I got to sleep outside. The corridor there. The Bangkali Vincent. We call it Fan Po Chong. A canvas type of bed, folded one. The cross leg one. Still got. No more. White color one. Then, very nice is when it rains. No? Wow, when it rains, really nice. The cooling, the air, very cooling. Then at night, we have no lighting. No? Whatever sound, we have been still young at that time, don't know. Wow, a lot of fear. Take the blanket, cover it. That time I was so young, don't understand. Now nothing. Now walk out alone, no light also, no problem. Because actually it's the fear that make you like that. But when your mind understands, there is nothing. Understand not? Because they don't have a physical form. They cannot do anything to you. But when you have fear, they got power over you. Understand not? They can make you miserable. Intensify your fear. And use their thought energy to disturb you. Yes. No. Some call it bado, intermediate state, bado. But that is not you. That one is just the consciousness come out. I came out before when I was young. That's why I know. That's why I can tell you. So that one is not you. The rebirth consciousness already gone. But the one that takes instantaneous birth one, like the non-human, or they call it the hungry ghost or the devas, where they take even hell beings, spontaneous, instantaneous power, that one is different. That one is not this random or conscious. That one straight away go into that rhyme. You are there. That's why the one in the Deva rhyme, because immediate, they can retain quite a bit of the memory. And most of these Deva can still know. But because when they are born up there, normally they actually, the life there is so good. So by the time they recall, there one day, here 50 years old. So by the time they recall, come down and look for you. Not no more, very old. Even let's say half a day or a few hours. You already age so much. But some can still contact you. Especially those who die up there, take birth as human being. Then they will monitor you. I got a few Kayaramita last time, even now also. They were immediate there, from there come down. And this Deva up there, they're good friend. No? Some when young, they can see them already. They can talk to them. Then as they grow up, they also can communicate. Some cannot see them. Some can communicate with them. They can hear. Then they can actually respond. But most of them need to go through some form of meditation, then only they can develop this ability. But some, because they just came down, somehow they can communicate and contact. But as human, you go up, unless that Deva has very strong mindfulness and all those things, most of the time, by the time they recall, they look down, you are already gone or very old. But the random of consciousness is different, because this consciousness can come out. Can come out. And it don't need the physical body to see, you know, it has its senses inside. That's why when I came out that time, 8 years old, I remember, the craving force all dissipate, you know. I saw how the craving force dissipate. I actually died, you know. Then my whole consciousness came out. And then my brother walked into the room, you know. When he walked into the room, he was looking for something, you know. He was talking and looking for something. Then I saw him doing all this. Then I called him, you know. He cannot hear me. I shouted at him. He cannot hear me. He said, walk out. Then I realized I'm out. Then I saw my body down there. Then that time, I don't know anything. I don't even know what is meditation. I just did what I have to do. I want to go back into my body. Then there was fear. You know what happened? When I went to my body, I cannot go in. I cannot go in because the whole consciousness came out already. Then somehow, because not time yet, my nature know what to do. It know how to align back. Then it give it a push. I went in again. The moment I went in, I gained consciousness. I gained control of my body. First thing I want to do is I check with my brother whether he did walk in and do all those things or not. He told me, yeah. He said, you were sleeping like a log there. How come you know? I said, never mind. I just want to know that I'm not dreaming. But I'm very sure I'm not dreaming. But I couldn't enter my body. And that day, before this happened, I was so tired. You know. As a kid, you know, you run out whole day, play until I was so tired until when I reached home, I totally got no more energy. You know. And I just collapsed onto my bed there, like a deadlock. But very funny, you know, that time I don't know how to meditate. And yet, I fully aware inside there. I fully aware that the body is so tired. You know. Then all of a sudden, I saw that craving for that bind the consciousness to the body start to dissipate. You know. That time, I didn't know what this thing is. Because when it happened, I didn't know. Until later, when I grew up after the meditation, after I understood the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching, then I knew why the Buddha said it's craving, attachment, that is the cause of suffering. So craving is the cause of rebirth and all those things. So craving bind. Then I realized that thing is the craving force that hold the consciousness to this body. That's why I always use the word trap inside, karmically trap inside. Then when you're about to die, all this energy will dissipate because you've got no more physical energy. They will dissipate. You become like, you got no control, tired. And my case was very tired. But when you are very sick, when all your organs are starting to fail you, what happens is your life force also very weak. Then your energy all will start to dissipate. Yeah. And the death process is very simple. No one die, nothing die. Very easy to die. Don't need to fear. You can see if you have mindfulness when it happened. Nothing. Just the thing just dissipate. Then go back. And after that, this one will come out. Actually, very easy to die.
This consciousness is different from the one that goes for rebirth.
Because for rebirth, only one thought. The rebirth consciousness, only one thought. No. The rebirth consciousness is gone. This is the random of the consciousness that is trapped inside the body that come out. You know what are these or not? Since birth, when you are born as a child, you got no memory. Correct or not? Pure. Then as you grow up, your father, mother, or whoever your guardian is, your school, your kindergarten, your education, the media, the paper, all condition you. Then your belief system, your ideology, your name, your whatever that you take on. So all this conditioning will create a bundle of memory. Memory which molds you. So these memories in your brain, they are the one that actually trigger all this consciousness. Then as you live, all your fear, your phobia, your whatever conditioning you accumulate in your brain and your consciousness, then this consciousness which is inside become very, very complicated and very dense. Your fear, your phobia, your conditioning, your beliefs, everything is here. Your identity that you take. Then when you die, the craving force dissipate, then this one come out. And this one is called the random. I don't know how to spell. Random. This one Emma. Oh, R-E-M. A-N-T. Random. The remain, the balance. It's just like when you burn a firewood block. You burn until everything more or less burn already. Then the fire gone. But still smoldering is there. The smoke is still there. That random. Depend. If your craving is not strong, it will disperse. If you have very strong attachment to this world, it will stay very long. Yeah, it will stay very long. That's why when your mother, parent die, or whoever die, especially your mother-in-law die, you don't think they are gone. They are still there. They can see you. They can hear you. All these things. Sometimes they disturb you. But you have Dhamma, you have virtue, you don't worry. They actually like you. Because they can see your consciousness. They can see you are different. But they are deluded. That's why they cannot understand why. Then your aura is different. Sometimes they cannot come near you. You can know that there is a nature apart from this consciousness. This consciousness is just a consciousness trapped inside. That is your mundane mind. Your thinking mind. When that one is very quiet, very still, then the true mind is there. No thought on. Direct seeing. No, true mind. True mind. No. You see, your true mind, is the pure mind. Pure awareness. This one, the pure awareness is without the content. Without the content. Means you didn't input any content of consciousness. Means all of your views, opinion, conditioning from your brain, your memory hasn't gone in. They call it pure awareness, the D. Just aware, before the knowing. The moment you know, the aggregate come out already. What is knowing? Perception. When you perceive something through memory, that is your aggregate or perception. When you become conscious, that is the pure consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see yet. But the moment you associate with the seeing, you input the content, I see. Then that sakyadity, egoic mind, arise already. And that is the fine aggregate of form. But then it starts to feel. And that's how the feeling aggregate will trigger off. Then you become emotional, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. But when you are very quiet, very still, then you can feel the inner peace, the inner calmness. That is still sankhara. But when that one also ceases, when there is just pure awareness without anything, and that is your true mind, and that is the silent mind, that is the one that is capable of the direct seeing. It will awaken. Means it will insight into phenomena. It will understand by itself. Where that one see things as they are. That one see things without the conditioned mind. Without the conditioning telling you right or wrong, good or bad. It just see things as they are before the word, before the concept, before the what they call conditioning. Means it's just that pure awareness that is just aware. Yeah. And that one is capable of understanding, awakening. That's why you have to realize that true mind. Then enlightenment is about the direct seeing. Like the Buddha says, seeing things as they are, jnana dasana. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Thing as they are, not what your mind tell you. Understand? Not what your conditioning tell you. That one is your discrimination. What you think of that thing. But that thing by itself, that reality, no word on, no name on. That is the truth. That is the reality. And then within that, all the universal characteristic is there. Where these are conditioned arising entity. Then you start to see. All these aggregate, they are dependent originating, not what you think. But this one is, the true mind is unmoving inside. Never born. They say, never get sick, never get old, never die. And this is the one, you need a form and mind to connect. Without a form and mind, you cannot connect. But to connect means, you must be very good in your meditation. This is the true mind, the silent mind, before the creation, before the rising of the mundane mind. Yeah. The one that come out, this one is the consciousness, this is the mundane mind. Your whole of your content of consciousness, together with your condition, since birth until now, that one come out. Yeah. That one will carry all your characteristics, your conditioning, your belief system, your fear, your phobia, your scars of mirror, everything, your identity, come out. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Can follow. Good.
What goes to
rebirth consciousness.
Yeah.
That's why you have a death consciousness. You know what is that death consciousness? Yeah. Chuti. They have a word for it, isn't it? Chuti chitta. You know chuti. Happen to be C-U-T-I. Go on holiday. Yeah. So that is your death consciousness. Then rebirth consciousness immediately follow. That's why they call it the rebirth consciousness. In Pali, what they call it. There's a word for it. I don't know what citta already. Relinking consciousness. Some call relinking, some call rebirth consciousness. So it links you to another form of mind. Understand? So that form and mind can be a fetus. Yeah. When the father and the mother, the sperm and ovum, when they actually fertilize, that time the consciousness is not there yet, no. Then this cell will subdivide. Subdivide until such a time when the organ and the senses, everything, they are in a certain state of formation. Then only the doctor can hear the heartbeat, and then only the consciousness went in. Yeah. That's why the doctor will tell you there are two heartbeats inside there already. Yeah. But initially, before that, before the subdivision, until the organ and the senses come in, cannot. The fetus still depend on the mother. Yeah, the embryo still depend. But after a certain size, then they can hear the heartbeat. Yeah. So that fetus heartbeat already the rebirth consciousness went in already. And then only it starts to have that thing. Yeah. That's why there are a lot of consciousness fighting for the same body. But law of karma decide on who get it. Understand? It's just like when you want to have a baby, yeah? After the couple, let's say, after their mating, you know how many sperm have to swim, and you are the champion to go in and become the one that take birth, understand? But that one is not consciousness, no. That one is the sperm, understand? But later on, as it develops, all this DNA coding and all those things, that's why the parents' character and all those things, then it will choose, no. Law of karma will choose, no, who's supposed to go in, no. That's why law of karma is very powerful. And you, for those who know, who can see, there are a lot fighting for this one. I got one teacher who told me, if you can see all this, a lot are fighting, especially for human body. That's why the Buddha said, to take birth as a human being is very rare. Then good human body, even more rare. That's why you are not a bodhisattva with all those vow. You cannot come on. You cannot get on this stuff body. Very difficult to get on. So, we better end. Are you? 50 minutes beyond, sorry. Okay, we quickly end. We will do the sharing of Mary and transfer of Mary. Akasata Chubumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu. Jawa Nirvana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and we'll end. The Tibetan call it the Bardo state, B-A-R-D-O. Yeah. So when the consciousness come out, you are in the Bardo state. They call it intermittent. Before, because they believe before you take rebirth, it's not like that one. The Buddha's teaching say the rebirth consciousness already gone. That immediately after the death consciousness, the rebirth consciousness straight away gone already. Yeah, various names they given, but that one is the random of consciousness. That one is not the rebirth. That one, you don't have to wait till that one die only you go for rebirth. No, then it becomes reincarnation. Then there is a permanent unchanging entity that continue. The Buddha say no such thing. And you were no one. Yeah, I came out before. And that one don't go take birth. Otherwise, I would have gone to take birth. That's why I managed to go in again. That one also was this person. Because that one is the consciousness, the condition. Because when I was up there, I realized I was not in the physical body, but I have my senses. I can hear things, I can see things. Everything very clear one. Like normal daylight like that one. But I don't have a physical form. I was up there, just a consciousness like that.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
tomorrow all finish already.
Thank you.